bounce over to his sales guys and taking on a more managerial role versus his usual more hands-on approach. I know it's been tough on him, mostly because he's put himself under a lot of pressure. I don't know what the deal is with his boss, but Nick hasn't complained. Still, he's trying to please everyone when all I want him to be is him. There have been two overnight trips where he went almost as much to teach as to be the salesman, from what he told me. He's shown the ropes to his newer associates, introducing the new agents around and making sure the right people are getting to know each other. Mostly, though, he spent the past 2 months working out of the house, remote officing everything possible while I run the Mountain Rose. At the end of the day, we meet for dinner. Sometimes he brings takeout, but most nights are like tonight, where he cooks. I guess I shouldn't be surprised he's an amazing cook and an even better griller. Nick's joked that his skills come from all the campfire cooking he's done. When the only thing you've got is a survival knife, 2 sheets of tinfoil, and some stuff you dug up in the woods, you get creative. Creative indeed. And so far, no mystery mushrooms from the nearby woods. Bringing in the plates, he sets them on the coffee table and sits down beside me, handing me a wine glass of sparkling water.
My lady.
Ooh, fancy, I reply, sipping my Perrier. You're pulling out all the stops here, mister. What's up? There's a tiny piece of me that's worried because as awesome as Nick has been lately, I know that he's still a bit of a wanderer, and I sometimes feel like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, especially after hearing his parents talk about going here and there and the magic of meteor showers. And here in Great Falls, it's just me. The stress of his job and, from what I understand, the loss of his sales commissions have to be weighing on him. But I'm putting my faith in him, and so far we've done awesomely. If anything, I've told him numerous times that we're a team. The Mountain Rose is continuing to do well, and we'll be fine. I think my reassurances have helped. At least, they seem to.
I checked a few more boxes off the to-do list today,
Nick says as he tells me about his day.
Well, I got a good workout this morning, and yeah, I know I'm still dressed, but you see, the nursery is done.
That's great news, I cheer, knowing Nick's been working hard to try and get everything squared away there. Even the crib?
Double-checked and verified by Brad himself. He said that he's got your baby shower under control, and not to worry about a thing. I signed over 2 more contracts to my team for monitoring and support. Just 1 big one left, and...
I interrupt with a smile, knowing where this is leading. And that one deal is why you're buttering me up? He nods, and I lean back against the couch, looking at him expectantly.
That obvious?
A little. All right, well, hand me a piece of garlic bread. Nothing can be that bad with garlic bread in my mouth. He smiles and hands me a slice, waiting till I take a big bite and wave my hand for him to continue.
This last contract is the one I want to keep as my own. It's not about the sale itself. Their monetary value really is small potatoes compared to some of the other contracts I've handed off. I want to keep this because I like the couple that runs the company a lot. They're the ones out in Oregon I told you about. And, well, they're sort of a sentimental place for me because of some of the stuff they told me.
I search my mind for a second, then make the connection, as Nick mentioned it one night when we went for a moonlight walk. Sam and Susan, right? The off-grid adventure tours? Nick nods, smiling a little.
That's them. Look, for me to be able to stay home for a while with you and Amelia after the birth, I need to make a trip out there to do a meet and greet and make sure everything's running smoothly. And with your being 32 weeks now, I need to do it sooner rather than later and as fast as possible to get back.
That's it? You need to run to Oregon for a quick trip? I ask, surprised. I thought this was a big deal or something. What with the spread he's got in front of me? What's the catch? Nick tilts his head, and I can see that he's got more to tell.
Well, quick trip is relative here. These guys are totally off-grid. Last time I spent a few weeks there, all told with getting there, the sales and stuff, and then ferrying back and forth to a damn internet connection to get it done and then back. Don't worry, though. This isn't anything like that. But I'll need at least a week. And I'll miss the baby shower.
I smile, relieved. It's okay, honey.
Are you sure?
I nod, taking his hand. I'm sure. I'm sad you'll miss the shower, but I'd rather have you here after Amelia's born to change poopy diapers and to deal with my hormones going apeshit again. I'll be using this as a bargaining chip for a long time, Daddy. Brad and Trey can help me get to and from the shower and take care of me for a week if I need anything. Devin is doing great at the shop, and Dr. Stevens says everything looks great, so I'm still fine to work for a few weeks. It'll be fine. Nick lets out a big puff of breath, the tension leaving his shoulders.
God, I'm so glad you're okay with it. I really don't want to leave you, and I knew that'd be a hard thing for you to handle, but I need to do this so that we can hibernate after Amelia is here. Just turn off the phones and disconnect from the world to be our own little family. I just want you to know that I don't want to go, but I need to so that I don't have to leave for a long time after this.
I get it. And I do appreciate how much work you've done to stay here with me and to plan ahead to be here for Amelia, I reply. I can handle a week apart when I've got at least 6 weeks to go. He leans in to give me a kiss, smacks some sweetness, and whispers in my ear.
I love you.
The words still thrill me, and I kiss him back, loving the tenderness in his every move. I love you too. He lowers down to my belly, pushing my oversized maternity top up to kiss my belly too. It makes me giggle. I'm unfortunately very ticklish recently, but he knows just how to do it so that I'm not laughing out of control and peeing myself. Talking to my belly, he croons to Amelia.
Daddy will be back before you know it. Be nice to Mama while I'm gone, okay?
Unable to resist, I lift my belly up a little toward him and mimic a little kid voice.
Only if you feed me some of that damn spaghetti right now. Bitches gotta eat.
Nick shakes his head, leaning back and putting his hand to his forehead like some sort of wannabe Southern belle.
Oh, my poor ears. The mouth on this kid already. She's gonna be a spoiled brat if Brad has anything to do with it. Look what he's done to you.
He smirks like he got me good, but he still goes to my plate and twirls up a forkful of pasta that looks so delicious, I'm thinking I'm the winner here either way.
Chapter 20 Nicholas. All of my bags are packed, and it's nearly time to go. Just one last call, and it's gonna be a bitch, but I need to do it. I've taken care of as many other things as I can, even speeding up the process by taking this ungodly early flight today, so I can land tonight and jump right in the rental to get out to Sam's camp early tomorrow. After a couple of rings, Brad answers, the sound of a high-pitched motor going in the background. Bitch, there'd better be a damn fine reason you're calling so early in the morning. I cringe, knowing he's not too happy with me, but there's nobody else I can really trust with this. I know, sorry, but I needed to check in one last time before I get on my flight. You've got my back here while I'm gone, right? Brad tisks through the phone, and I can practically imagine him rolling his eyes at me. No, I don't have your back, but I have Rose's. Anything she needs, I'll take care of. Just go do what you gotta do and get back here. I can live with that. Thanks. I hate that I'm leaving, I say, before adding, hoping this'll get me a few brownie points. And that I'm going to miss the fabulous shower you're throwing for my girls. Jesus, man, what the hell is that sound in the background?
Gasoline-powered giant vibrator, Brad replies. Why? Want a ride?
He pauses a beat, like I'm actually going to answer that before continuing, it's the blender for Trey's smoothie. Very funny, I shoot back. But seriously, man, thanks. I'll be back as soon as I can, but I have to do this so I can be here. My plea seems to have worked, as Brad's voice sounds a little less grumpy when he answers.
I know. I'll handle everything that comes up. It's fine. I'm just grumpy at this time before the rooster even crows, and it's my turn to make the damn breakfast smoothies. But now that I'm up, I guess I could go for a little cock-a-doodle-doo, if you know what I mean.
I laugh, but attempt to cut off details before he thinks he can give them to me. Well, thanks again. See you guys when I'm back. I'm not sure if he realizes he hasn't hung up yet. But before the line goes dead, I hear him in the background.
Trey! I have a nice breakfast sausage for you.
Thankfully, that's all I hear. I take one last look at my sleeping Rose, memorizing the spray of hair across the pillow, her mouth soft in sleep, and her hand resting protectively on her full belly. Not wanting to disturb her nest of pillows, I land a light kiss to her forehead and whisper in the bedroom air, I love you, baby. It's a long day of travel, commuting first to the airport and then flying into Oregon. My secretary arranged all the travel and assured me that the best option was to stay at a hotel my first night in Oregon so that I could safely ride an ATV out to Sam's place in daylight hours. Admittedly, my first reaction was, fuck that, and I'd planned to travel straight through. But now I'm glad I listened to reason because the long flight has me exhausted, and a ride as the sun sets and the woods become darker and more dangerous is definitely not the best option. Settling into the hotel, I look around and realize how alone I feel. Homesick already, I muse out loud as I fire up my computer, glad the motel's got Wi-Fi. Dialing up Rose, I hope she's still awake. Time zones can be a bitch at this distance. After a couple of rings, her face fills the screen, and I feel my heart jump in my chest.
Well, hello there, stranger. I missed you this morning, she greets me. Didn't even leave a note.
I chuckle, knowing that her soft chide is just a joke. I couldn't bear to wake you up. You were sleeping so well, and I know that's harder these days, so I wanted you to get your rest. Rose smiles, leaning back on the bed.
I did sleep well for a bit, and then went into the shop for a few hours. 2 hours after I got there, Devin sat me in a tall chair behind the register and told me not to move. She helped all the customers and just sent them to me to ring out.
I laugh, knowing that Devin's totally one of those people that I'm so glad is in Rose's life. Sounds like she's got it under control. The shop and you. Rose fakes indignation, pointing a finger at me.
Hey, I don't need anyone to control me. I'm doing just fine.
I tilt an eyebrow, thinking that a little bit of control is exactly what we both need right now. I drop my voice down, letting the gravel rumble the way I know she likes. Rose. I see the smirk across her face as her eyes light up, realizing that I'm shifting the mood. She almost wiggles, and I wonder idly just how far we could take this if we ever wanted to.
Yes?
I lean forward, undoing the top button on my shirt and showing her a little bit of my chest. I was thinking back to when I traveled before and missed you so much. Do you remember what we did? I watch as her eyes go to my exposed skin while she bites her lip and nods.
How could I forget? And I am rather needy tonight. These damn hormones make me horny all the time.
I smirk, knowing that it's not just the hormones that are making her feel so needy for sex, because I feel the same way every time I look at her. I know, and I fucking love it. I half growl, undoing my cuffs and rolling them up my forearms. You just do what I say, and I'll take care of you, okay? Rose purrs, looking into my eyes.
Okay, and just what do you want me to do?
Thought you didn't want anyone to control you. Rose smiles, trailing a finger down her neck to her chest, where I can see her nipples already poking through the thin cotton of her t-shirt.
At work, I'm the boss there. Like this with you, it's different. Now are we gonna have a therapy session, or are you gonna make me come long distance?
I laugh a little. No matter what, the woman's got sass. Oh, I'm definitely gonna make you come. But not till I say you can. Deal? Rose grins, and I realize again that somehow I've found the perfect woman for me.
Deal.
Take off your clothes, then lie back on the bed. Spread your legs wide and set the laptop down between them so I can see your whole body. Rose does as I ask, and I say a little prayer of thanks for HDMI cables, because after plugging my laptop into the TV in the motel room, I can see every inch of her body in sexy 36-inch detail. My cock's already throbbing, and we've barely begun. Lift your shirt and tease your nipples, nice and slow. I command, my voice raspy, just like that. Now lick your fingers and circle them around your nipples. Slow circles, baby. Tease yourself for me. I watch as she does as I ask, circling closer and closer to her peaked nubs with each hand. Through the video feed, I can see her eyes almost glowing, staring as she watches me. Rose's fingernails catch the sensitive tips of her breasts, and she takes a huge inhale, trying not to give herself away. Nuh-uh, I playfully admonish her. I didn't say you could touch your nipples, snotty girl. You do exactly what I say, and only what I say. Understood? Rose whimpers but nods. It's not quite domination. We both know that as much as I'm commanding her, she's just as much in control. But whatever it is, it's sexy as fuck. Yes, baby. I nod, making my voice stern, even as my hand reaches down to massage my cock through my pants. For that, you'll have to be punished a little bit. Pinch your nipples, both at the same time. Rose does as I say, throwing her head back to gasp, and I reward her by stripping off my shirt, letting her see all of my upper body. Now, I continue, standing up to let her see me better. Push your tits together. Lift them up, and let me see how big and full they've gotten. And slide your thumbs across your nipples. Soothe that bite away from the pinch. She does as instructed, but suddenly jolts as her nipples start dribbling a little milk. She stops, blushing nearly bright pink as I watch the whiteness dribble down her skin. Oh, shit. Sorry. As far as I'm concerned, it's sexy as fuck. I don't want her to be embarrassed. Move your hands. Let me see those milky tits. You're gonna feed our baby with those, and I'm gonna get plenty of it too. You're the mother of my child. Everything about you is sexy. I'm just wishing I were there to suck and lick you right now. She calms at my words, getting back into the mood, and beginning to rub her nipples again. Nick, you make me feel so good. I groan lightly and undo my belt, showing her just a little bit of the happy trail of hair that goes from my belly button down to the base of my cock. When I get back, you're getting a nice big surprise. Cup yourself for me. Grind your pussy into the heel of your hand. She does as I say, but stops just before her hand makes contact with her pussy. You too. Take off those pants and put the laptop where I can see you stroke yourself. Show me how turned on you are to watch me because, God knows, I want to watch you. I whip my pants off easily, adjusting the laptop on the table so that she can see everything from my knees to my hair. Sitting upright on the edge of the bed so she can see me grab my cock in my fist, giving it a few strokes. Is this what you want? You want me to jack off for you? Rose moans, her hand moving to massage her pussy and her palm grinding down on her clit. Fuck yes, Nick. Tell me what to do. I keep stroking, slow and easy, to stay in control. I don't want this to end quickly. Not until we're both totally satisfied. Slide a finger into your pussy. Slip it in nice and slow. She groans a bit, and I see her pussy clenching around her finger, searching for more. What do you feel? She looks me in the eye, slowly moving her finger in and out in time to my strokes. Hot. So hot and slick like silk. I'm dripping wet for you. I hiss, my mind filling with the memory of what it feels like to slide my own fingers inside her, the way she clings to me. Fuck. I want to feel your heat, wrapping around my fingers as I open you up, making you squirm while I stroke your G-spot, just how you like. She whimpers, spreading her lips for me, and I pump a little faster, grinning. It's not as good as my cock when I pound into you, is it? Keep yourself open with your other hand. I want to see your hard little clit pulsing, greedy for attention. She moves her hand up, pressing her pussy lips wide, and I see her clit peeking out from its hood and throbbing with her heartbeat. Like this? I nod, a clear drop of pre-cum already oozing from the tip of my cock and making my shaft glisten as I smear it up and down my throbbing shaft. Yes, take your fingers out and rub your clit, slow and easy. Keep yourself spread so I can see. As she does, I can't help but jack myself a little faster, already close to coming. God, it's hot to watch Rose, my perfect mix of innocence and naughtiness. And all mine. She smiles, her breath coming in short gasps. Slow down, or you're gonna come before I do, or I can speed up to match you. Her fingers blur as she matches my tempo, and I growl, shaking my head, but letting up a little on my strokes. No, I told you slow and easy. I think you need a smack for that, now. She meets my eyes, a hint of defiance, but I know she likes it and won't hurt herself. Her eyes don't leave mine as she gives her open pussy a little spank, her fingers centered right over her pussy as she makes contact with her clit, her hips jerking at the sensation. I watch in lustful awe as her pussy contracts and more of her honey leaks out. I think you liked that. Scoop that gush of nectar out and smear it all over your clit, get it nice and wet, then smack it again. She groans as she spreads her juices before crying out as she smacks herself lightly again. My cock jerks in my hand, and I grin, knowing just how to torture her. You're my dirty little slut, aren't you? Just yours. She moans, shaking her head. Fuck, Nick. I'm on the edge, Nick. Please, please let me. I need to come. Unable to wait much longer myself, I give her what she wants. Rub your clit, Rose. Fast and hard, and watch me come for you. We're gonna come together, no matter how many miles are between us. Got it? She moans her agreement as she starts to strum across her clit in a blur, and I move my hips to fuck my fist. It's hard watching her, and trying to keep in time. But with Rose, I find the ability to keep going, to give her everything, and deliver on my promise. Rose sees my torture and smiles, helping out like only she can.
Grab your balls, squeeze them just like I do, and come for me.
I use my other hand, never stopping the rhythm of my hips to do as she asks, and giving my own instructions in between whimpering grunts. Slide two fingers in, Rose, fuck your fingers, and come for your man. There's a moment of silence, just panted breaths, as we stare at the screens, eyes locked on each other. And then we both erupt, shudders and shakes overtaking us as our moans echo both into our empty rooms and through the screens. I spurt all over the floor in front of me, but I don't give a shit. Riding the high as long as possible, I open my eyes again to see Rose catching her breath too. She smiles, and it's like sunshine on my heart.
8 months, and you still want me like it's the first time.
Damn, Mama, I pant, wiping the sweat from my forehead. You're sexier now than ever. As fast as you make me come, maybe this traveling thing isn't so bad after all. Rose chuckles.
Mm-hmm. That was just what I needed. But I still wish you were here in person.
Me too, baby. This is it, though. Last trip for a long while. And then it'll just be you and me and our little girl.
I like that. Kinda hard to do Skype sex with a baby around. We'll just have to be boring.
Oh, I can help you be quiet, I tease. Rose laughs, nodding. We talk for a bit longer, and while my cock says it still wants a little attention, I know I have to get up before sunrise to head out, so I start to wrap things up. I think I've got to get some sleep. I'll be off grid for 5 days to ride out, do the checks with Sam, and ride back. I won't have phone service till I'm back in town, out of the forest. Brad promised to take care of you. And if there's an emergency... Rose interrupts, shaking her head.
There won't be an emergency. I've got this handled, and you're right. I've got great friends, if by chance there is. So no stress, Nick.
I know you do. But if there's an emergency, have someone call Wes. I left his number there, and he can get in contact with me if he really has to. If you need me, that's how to reach me.
Rose nods. Got it. It's fine. Go get your work done, play in the outdoors, and feed your spirit. Then haul ass home as soon as possible.
Will do. I'll be back before you know it.
Chapter 21 Rose Rolling out of bed, I scowl at the alarm clock. It's beep, 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 an annoying reminder of all the things I need to do today. I'm opening the boutique, and Devin comes in to cover the afternoon shift so I can hole up in my office to place an order for our next shipment before she closes down. The spring lines are in full swing, and I'm already looking for the summer's lines, knowing that's another of the big tourist seasons. May through August pays for September through November, when the ski season starts around here. Just not enough fall foliage, I guess. Too many pine trees, even if they smell great. Mentally running through the list of clothes I've already selected, I try to decide what bonus pieces I want to order as well. One of the major ways I can add to my bottom line and provide exceptional customer service is in not only providing the one piece a customer is looking for, but in providing an entire ensemble, from dress to jewelry to shoes to jacket. The difference between, oh, that's nice, and holy shit, I gotta get me one of those, often comes down to these little accessories. Those detail pieces are what I need to determine this afternoon to finalize the order. Finishing up my mental prep as I brush my teeth, I slip on a slim-fit cotton dress that hugs my curves and highlights my baby belly. Amelia's really far too big to call her a bump any longer. While the mornings and evenings are still cold around here, days are nice, and the shop can get really warm. Devin has insisted on keeping the shop at exactly the temperature that Anna's told her is perfect for me. Ah, well, better to be overloved than under, I guess. Turning sideways to check myself in the mirror, I really am stunned by how huge I've gotten. I always thought the expression, she swallowed a basketball, was funny, but when it's your own body stretched, it's shockingly odd to see yourself that way. I'm thankful that most of my pregnancy weight seems to be contained to my belly, breasts, and, if I'm honest, my butt. And if the mirror isn't lying, I look good. Glowing, healthy, and happy. Especially my ass. I'm gonna have to figure out how to keep that cushion for the pushing after Amelia is born. Eat your heart out, Kardashian family. Slipping on low-heel booties that will be comfortable all day, I decide to just grab dry toast and decaf coffee on my way out the door. My stomach is a little upset, and I don't know if it's from Amelia dancing inside me all night or because I miss Nick so much. Probably both. Amelia seems to get antsy when Nick's not around. She's gonna be a total daddy's girl for sure. Unlocking the boutique, I get to work straightening racks, putting away the few things left in the dressing room area before deciding that the mannequins up front need new outfits. With the change in weather, it's time for a new series up front. This is one of my favorite parts of my job, creating a look that is eye-catching and interesting to get folks to stop in and buy the outfit I've put together. Every time that happens, it feels like a pat on the back for creating a look that someone wants to actually wear on their body for their daily life. By the time noon rolls around, I've helped several customers and selected the mannequin outfits, trying to discreetly wrestle the clothes onto the unhelpful forms while there is no one in the shop but me. If anyone can ever make a mannequin that doesn't make you half rip a seam getting a blouse on, I'll kiss them. Come on, you son of a bitch, I grunt as I wrestle with a light pink blouse that's going to be part of a set inspired by Amelia, who seems intent on pink becoming my favorite color even before she gets here. The bells jingle merrily as the front door opens and I call out, "Welcome to the Mountain Rose," as I look up, but it's not a customer. Devin comes in with takeout boxes from the diner, and as her eyes find me, her face screws up in exasperation.
Rose, what the hell are you doing? Why are you kneeling on the floor? You're about to pop, for gosh sakes.
She sets the boxes down on the desk and offers me a hand, helping me up. I accept the helping hand, grunting as I get up. I'm fine. Just decided the mannequins needed to have some fun, so I picked them out new outfits. And I'm kneeling because if I sit all the way down, I'd never get back up. I'm pregnant, not broken. Laughing, Devin brushes off my butt, which I guess has gotten a little bit of carpet fuzz on it.
All right, pick them out some goodies and then leave the clothes for me to do it. That's what you pay me for, boss.
I smile, glad that she is such a good worker, but more importantly, that she's become a good friend in the months that she's worked here. I don't know what I'd do without her, and I'm glad to have her so that I can go on maternity leave in a few weeks, secure that she's got the boutique well in hand. The Mountain Rose isn't going to miss out on the kickoff to the summer sale season, and I'm not going to have to rush back either. Thanks. Truly, you're a lifesaver. Devin shakes her head and heads back behind the register to drop off her things.
That's what I'm here for. So, besides doing too much, she says, giving me a knowing, reproachful glare. What's up?
I smile, quietly loving her mama bear instinct, because I already have quite a serious streak of protectiveness over Miss Amelia. Nothing much. Saw some customers, sold several items, including one of the long-layered maxi skirts and one of those chunky turquoise necklaces to the same lady. Devin does a little fist pull as she makes a cha-ching sound.
Money, 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 baby.
Yep, I agree. Not mentioning that I'm going to be giving Devin a bump in her paycheck this month because that necklace was her idea. Good sale and a nice lady.
She had me cut the tag off the necklace and wore it out. Said it was her new favorite. I smile at the memory of how excited the woman was with her new treasure.
I'm glad, Devin says. All right, let me finish this up and you can get to whatever else needs done. Don't forget your lunch. I got a soup and sandwich specials today.
I grab the takeout box, inhaling the delicious aroma and realizing that the dry toast didn't exactly last me long enough and I'm suddenly starving. Thanks again. Holler if you need anything. Otherwise, I'm hibernating until I'm done. I get to the office and sit. Well, more of a controlled fall down on the couch, resting my food box on my belly and laughing that it's become a convenient place to perch things. I sip at the soup. It's good, light but filling, and helps me feel re-energized. For a diner that has a reputation for being a bit of a great side of the highway comfort food place, they really know how to make a damn good high-quality soup. And today's ginger and chicken with vegetables really kicks ass. Deciding to save the sandwich as a pick-me-up treat for later, I set the box on the little table and stand to switch over to my desk. As I stand, my belly tightens, a strong, squeezing sensation moving from under my ribs to down deep in my pelvis. It takes my breath away for a moment before I remember to breathe slowly, in and out. Whoa, baby, I mutter, grabbing the edge of my desk. What the? My mind whirls and I realize I just had a contraction. As it passes and I feel fine again, I'll admit that I'm a little excited. Dr. Stevens and the nurses who'd done my birthing classes had talked about how most women have practice contractions for weeks before they actually go into labor. Braxton Hicks contractions, they call them, to help their bodies prepare.
It's like a marathon runner doing training runs beforehand, Dr. Stevens told me when he explained them. You've got to get your muscles ready and learn how to stay calm and breathe through the contraction. There is another benefit, too, for Amelia. The practice contractions will help her get in position and be ready for her birthday.
All right. First practice contraction, handled like a boss. And that means I'm getting one step closer to meeting my little girl. I wish I could call Nick to tell him, but he's still incommunicado out in the forests of Oregon, and I don't want to scare the shit out of him by using Wes to get in touch with him. But he'll be back in 3 days, and I know he'll be just as excited as I am. I picture him holding my hands, telling me to breathe as he puffs his chest out, breathing with me, rubbing my belly lightly to feel the contraction himself and help me get through them as they become stronger. We're gonna do this. We're gonna be parents. I can't believe it. Trying to focus my buzzing brain, I sit at the desk, focusing on clicking all the right buttons as I go through item after item for the order. I don't have any more contractions, just a general sense of tightness as I work. But I'm comfortable enough, considering there's a human being doing somersaults inside me. Hope you're having fun down there, babe, I tell Amelia after clicking the pay button on the last order. Just think, soon enough you'll be outside and then the real fun starts. By late afternoon, I'm exhausted and hungry, so I grab my earlier sandwich, thankful I saved it. After munching it down, I decide a little walking would do my back some good. The hours spent hunching in my office chair have not been doing my back any favors. I step out into the boutique to see Devin making final adjustments to the mannequins, which are now placed in the display windows. Devin hears me and calls over, doing a final flourish with her feather duster.
What'd you think, Rose?
Looks great. Thanks for finishing those. Her eyes stay locked on her work as she brushes a little lint off the top and tweaks the necklace.
No problem, boss. You did good with the picks. Miss Madison the mannequin looks ready for a night on the town. Heard she's been talking to that mannequin they're using for the Nike compression gear at the sporting goods store. Wonder if he's enhancing any bulges in all that spandex.
Well, if anyone can find out, it's Maddie, I say as I laugh a little, the jiggle causing me to inhale sharply as another contraction shoots across my belly.
Oof.
Devin is instantly sober and rushes over to me.
Rose, what's wrong? Are you okay?
I breathe, nodding my head, waiting until it passes before I reply.
I'm fine. Just having some Braxton Hicks contractions today.
You sure?
Devin asks, her eyes searching my face, looking for a sign of something.
You do look a little pale.
I roll my eyes. Devin's more freaked out by all of this than I am.
Gee, thanks, honey, but I'm okay. I do think I'll head out for the day, though. If you have things handled.
Devin smiles and gives me a hug back.
Everything is under control. Go home and get some rest. Call me if you need anything.
I nod absently,
wishing I was already curled up at home on the couch to get some sleep. I bend down to grab my purse from behind the counter, slipping it over my shoulder, when I feel a tiny little cramp deep inside, and my panties feel suddenly wet. In my mind, I'm thinking that maybe I just peed myself, when I hear Devon gasp, her eyes locked on my leg. I look down and see a tiny line of blood trickling down the inside of my right leg, curling around to drip over my kneecap. "Oh my God," I whisper, in a voice that doesn't sound like me. "That's not supposed to happen." Devon's voice is panicked, her eyes nearly big enough to fall right out of her head. "Do you want me to call Nick?" I shake my head, realizing he's in the wilderness with no phone. "Not yet. Call Brad and tell him I need him to take me to the hospital. And call Dr. Stevens so he can meet us there."
Chapter 22. Nicholas. After our night of Skype sex, I headed out dark and early to meet Sam and Susan. Sam was nice enough to meet me in town, his son coordinating for us to meet during Sam's supply run. He greeted me next to the biggest of his snowmobiles, a huge cargo job with attached trailer, with a hug that had damned near taken my breath away, but it was good to see him again. Funny how a few days with just the two of you, working in the woods, could create an instant deep friendship.
"I gotta tell you, Nick, you were a lifesaver this winter," Sam says, as we go up and down the aisles of the market, checking items off Sam's list. "Twice, we got huge snowstorms that would have knocked out our old gear, but the stuff you got us, me and the family were nice and cozy. Haven't had a single snowmobile go down all winter, no matter how hard we've run them."
"Considering the amount of stuff you're putting in this cart, I guess you've been able to run them pretty hard, too," I joke, as Sam puts in a case of Dinty Moore beef stew to join the roughly 100 pounds of other stuff on the cart. I swear, anywhere you go in North America, you go into the woods, and someone's going to have a can of Dinty Moore nearby. It's damn near a law.
"You would have laughed your ass off at this city boy who came out, bag-packed full of beef jerky and socks," Sam says, pausing his story dramatically to grab 2 25-pound bags of rice. "Damn fool had nothing else. Not a knife, map, flashlight, or even matches in there at all."
What the hell was his idea? Was he going to build a tent out of socks? Keep the bears away with athlete's foot funk? Sam laughs.
"I don't know. Susan geared him up properly with your stuff and we headed out. Supposed to be a 5-day trip. But wouldn't you know, by nightfall, day 3, we hadn't even made it halfway to the turnaround point. So the next morning we took a shortcut out and I radioed Susan to pick us up on the main trail, in the sag wagon. That big boy ATV you left sure came in handy. Got us out and home for Susan's apple pie before dark. And City Boy said he felt like he'd had a life experience he'll never forget. Can you believe that?"
He laughs good-naturedly.
"Damn fool, never even got to the peak I wanted to show him."
"At least he didn't die," I point out. "A credit to you."
"Your gear, too," Sam says honestly. "He put a beat down on your stuff with his bumbling ways, but it took it all. Even when he thought that you were supposed to hammer tent stakes into a tree."
After finishing his list, Sam and I load up the cargo trailer on his snowmobile and jump into the passenger cabin to drive deep into the woods.
"I know it seems a waste down here, where the snow ain't deep," Sam says as he adjusts his throttle, "but once we go about 2 or 3 miles, you'll see why. While you're out here, I'll give the ATVs a test run. Some of the trails are clear enough."
"They'll handle anything you put in front of them without a problem," I assure him. As soon as we're surrounded by trees, I feel a tightness in my chest loosen. The fresh air brightens my lungs, rejuvenates me, and the pine boughs waving in the breeze as we slowly roll by seem to welcome me home. Susan's greeting is much the same as Sam's, although her hug isn't nearly as backbreaking since she's less than half his size.
"Good to see you, Nick. How's civilized life?"
"Lots of good, but I'll tell you about it inside. I see you've built a fire, and I don't want to waste the good oak," I reply, looking at the idyllic-looking cabin. "And I heard something about pie?"
"Of course," Susan says with a knowing glance at her husband. "Come on in."
To say the dinner is delicious is a ridiculous understatement. The stew is venison shot by Sam himself,
while the pie is mountain berry, picked and canned by Susan back in October and aged just right. As we eat, we catch up more, and I tell them about what's been going on over the months since we last saw each other. So, after our last visit, I flew around a bit, same as always, visiting with customers and negotiating with potential customers. A resort that had gone another way called us back, and I flew out to Great Falls, a town back east that I'd been to right before seeing you guys. Ran into a woman I knew there from my last trip. Sam looks over at Susan, mouthing, "a woman he knew," as he waggles his eyebrows. She giggles, slapping his arm lightly.
"Be good and let the man finish his story. Tell us about this young woman."
They turn back to me, and I smile at their easy camaraderie. So I see Rose, that's her name, and she's pregnant. She, well, she didn't know how to get a hold of me, and there was a bit of a mix-up with a phone call message when she finally did find me. But, long story short, we're having a baby. Susan claps, tears springing to her eyes as she rushes over to hug me.
"Congratulations, Nicholas. That's fabulous, honey."
Sam offers a hand-crushing shake and pats my shoulder.
"Well done, son. I had a feeling, the way you were talking out in the big woods."
Before I can reply, he squeezes down a little more warningly while giving me a mean, hard-eyed look.
"You're doing right by this lady, aren't you?"
I smile through the pain, glad I've been drinking my milk or else I might have a broken hand right now. "Well, I'm damn sure trying. It was a little rough at first, as you can guess. The first meeting again when I walked in to find her 5 months pregnant? Yeah, that was a little dramatic. She thought I wouldn't want to be part of the baby's life. But we got it all straightened out. Now I'm looking forward to it being the three of us. I'm moving to Great Falls permanently to be with Rose, and adrenaline is working with me to help make that happen. I'm just writing out my lease on my old apartment and already arranged for a company to send me what I want from there and donate the rest to Salvation Army. Sam nods and gets up to pour the after-dinner coffee.
"Well, if you got a guy that'll come all the way out here, I'll work with whoever you recommend. Don't you worry about a thing."
I shake my head, getting up to help clear the dishes. "Nah, if you don't mind, I'd like to stay the primary contact on your account. I won't be able to travel much, especially at first, but a trip out here every once in a while sounds like the reprieve I need from city life. Also, no buttering you guys up, but this place is just about next door to paradise in a lot of ways." Sam nods knowingly, handing me a steaming mug.
"Sounds good to me. But if it's too much, you just let me know. I sure like the gear you left and appreciate the deal we've got. So, if you need to stay closer to home, we understand. We had babies once, too."
Susan clears her throat, tossing a dish towel over her shoulder as she prepares to wash up.
"All right, boys, if you're done with the business chatter, I have a question. When are you getting married, and do I get to meet the baby?"
I laugh, feeling heat rush to my face. "Well, I've been living in her house for a couple of months now, working remotely to be there as we get ready for the baby. But we need to make it a little more official, if you know what I mean." Susan's eyes are shining like diamonds as she nods.
"I know, and I can understand that. But I want to know all your plans about the baby, how you want to do the proposal, wedding, all the good stuff."
Sam chuffs, rolling his eyes as he takes the dish towel from his wife and starts running water.
"You two go on. This could take you all night. About the only thing that can make my tough-as-nails spitfire wife go all gooey are weddings and babies. Back when we lived in town, she watched these Hallmark movies every damn day. Same damn story with different characters every time. Now she just reads them."
He leans in to whisper, even though Susan can hear every word.
"At least I don't have to listen to them anymore. And the books seem to get her going, so that works out just fine for me."
I laugh along with them, happy to bear witness to their love. When their eyes come back to me, I continue. "I am planning to propose, but figured I'd wait. We're moving about as fast as you can, and I don't want to overwhelm her. I do plan on visiting a jeweler in Portland before I fly back to Great Falls, though. Just gotta plan when I'm going to pop the question, so not a word to anyone." Susan mimics locking her lips and throwing away the key.
"My lips are sealed."
I laugh and sit down on the couch. We're naming the baby Amelia, and her room is already painted pink, like a Pepto-Bismol bottle got tossed all over the walls. I know that sounds cliche, but Rose loves it, so I do too. Best of all, she's got a good group of friends that rally around her, and to help her in her shop, so that she can take off for several weeks after Amelia is born. It's not where I ever saw my life going, but now that it's here and it's happening, I can't believe how amazing it is. Sam and Susan smile back at me, delving into a long story about how their son Mason had met the woman of his dreams. She'd hated him for being backwoods, but he'd eventually won her over, and now they live in the small town we'd shopped at today with their five kids. Sam laughs. Trust me, keeping up with those five as they go running through the woods, the first time I let them, their mother was worried they'd get eaten by a bear or something. But I told them with all the noise they were making, the bears were heading over the mountains as fast as their legs could take them. His story gives me pause. I might be excited about Amelia, but the thought of five kids gives me a good dose of fear, and somewhere deep inside, I hope that Rose doesn't want quite that many. Maybe one or two more, but definitely not five. I don't want to raise a basketball team. I mean, we'd have to have a chain of mountain roses, and I'd end up having to take Wes's job to afford that. Sam and I spend the next few days running maintenance checks on every piece of gear he's got, checking his soon-to-be broken-out ATVs from bumper to bumper, restringing fishing reels, and replacing a ski on one of the snowmobiles. It's dirty hard work, but I enjoy it. Being outdoors, making sure that Sam has what he needs to be successful and safe, and generally being useful in a way that pushing papers around doesn't make me feel. This is a sort of life I could certainly get used to. We chat as we work, and Sam's full of little nuggets of wisdom.
You know what will keep you in your lady's good graces?
Tell me, I reply, as I oil a drive chain. Figure you, of all people, might know from what I've seen. Sam chuckles as he checks a length of rope for wear and tear.
When your baby's born, you're gonna be tempted to swap turns getting up when she cries. You're gonna have days at work that'll make you getting up at 2 in the morning seem like the toughest thing ever. But don't you do it. You drag your carcass out of bed when you're home. It'll pay off.
Pay off, huh? I ask, and Sam chuckles.
Chances are, she'll need to be fed or need to be changed. You can't feed her, but you can sure take her to her mama, since she'll be the one staying up doing the feeding. And you can dang sure change a diaper. Lord knows I did my fair share of diaper duty once upon a time.
I store the advice away for later. Sure that he knows what he's talking about, if his marriage has lasted this long, and is as good as it appears. Sam finishes the last few inches of rope inspection and makes a quick coil of it, looking over to see if I'm done with my assignment too.
You ready? Let's run these babies.
It's great to take the ATVs out, heading out along the paths Sam's created, and he shows me some hidden treasures along the property. The caves, huge trees, and a surprising hidden pond are amazing to see. And the machines run smoothly. Not a single hiccup after our maintenance and care. They're purring, I comment, as we come to a stop overlooking the pond. Let me guess, your old ones were cranky as hell the first days of spring?
You could say that, Sam says.
But before he can finish, his radio squawks.
Sam? Come in, Sam.
It's Susan, and Sam cuts off his engine. I follow suit, the silence somehow sounding ominous after the pleasant drone of the engines earlier. I shiver, suddenly feeling the chill wind on my throat.
Susan? Sam asks, picking up the radio. What's up, honey?
The radio static quiets before Susan continues.
Mason just came out from town, and he got a call from a fella named Wes who's looking for Nicholas. You boys need to come on in.
She doesn't say as much, but I feel a knot in the pit of my stomach, and my hand trembles on the controls of the ATV. There's only one reason Wes would go through the trouble of calling Sam's son to come find me out in the sticks.
Rose, something's wrong.
Sam meets my eyes, nodding once as I see he's come to the same conclusion.
All right, son, Keep your head. We're gonna get you back as quick as possible. But these woods and these machines ain't made for racing. So hold it together.
Chapter 23. Rose. The hospital room is bland, but I don't care. I'm focused on Dr. Stevens. Everything looks stable. For now. Your bleeding has stopped and the baby's heart rate is perfect. No signs of distress. Sonogram shows that there's a tiny separation of the placenta, but we're doing what we can for now to keep that baby inside you for a little longer. I swallow my fear, knowing that Dr. Stevens is good at what he does. Okay, but what does that mean? What do I need to do? He gives me a reassuring smile. The prescription is very simple, but also very difficult for someone like you. Bed rest, and plenty of it. In fact, I'm admitting you to the hospital for monitoring, and you'll be here until you deliver. I gasp, unconsciously struggling to sit up. Until I deliver? Couldn't that be weeks from now? I mean, I've got so many things that need to get done, and I'm hardly... Doc puts a calming hand on my shoulder, shaking his head gently. And you have one of the best support systems in place that I've ever seen. This does increase your chances of delivering a little earlier, but mostly we're just going to keep the contractions at bay as long as we can. What dangers are there for her? I ask, reminded that this is about Amelia, not the boutique or anything else. Even in the worst case scenario, if you gave birth today, odds are really good that she'd be fine and just have a little growing to do before she went home. The best thing you can do to keep her inside, though, is to be calm. Stay in bed and let us help you. I nod, glad for his fatherly bedside manner as he walks out. I grab Brad's hand. He's been with me the whole time. Thank you. He turns to me, his voice a little deeper than his usual airiness, and I know I'm talking to real Brad, not fabulous Brad.
You're fine. Jellybean's fine. I'm here and Nick's on his way. Just breathe.
I try to believe him and trust that everything is going to be fine, but inside I'm freaking out. I curl up into a ball, protective around my hospital gown-covered belly. Brad, I can't lose her. He leans down, wrapping his long arms around my shoulders and rubbing my belly.
Listen up, Miss Amelia,
he says in a lighter voice, closer to his normal voice.
You are not done cooking yet, little princess. And as excited as I am to meet you and spoil you rotten, you're not ready. Get a little bigger and then you'll be able to handle all the love your mama, daddy, and Auntie Brad can surround you with, okay?
He keeps talking, the words becoming a soft murmur as I feel myself doze off. When I wake up, it's 9 hours later. Brad's gone, but left a note that he'll be back, and I realize that I've been here since last night. It's been 16 mind-numbing hours of constant, droning beeps, half-understood voices over intercom systems just outside the door to my room, and far-off alarms that both bore the shit out of me and fill me with a dreadful terror. How can I deal with this shit? I ask the room. I've potentially got weeks of this to look forward to. I steel myself. I can handle some boredom to make sure Amelia stays safe. Of course I can. I'd do anything for her. I guess I'm glad that Brad finally had to go home. He probably really needs a shower and some rest. So for the first time, I'm alone with all of this. Questions swirl in my head. Could I have done something wrong? Could I have prevented this somehow? I know that Dr. Stevens said that my working had nothing to do with what happened, but there's a little part of me that still feels guilty. Worried about getting a damn mannequin dressed when my baby was inside me. Fucking stupid idiot. My brain races on to negotiating, begging my little jelly bean to stay inside and promising that I'll meet her soon, but not too soon. I promise her that I'll be the best mommy in the whole world. I rub my belly, feeling the little flutters as she seemingly answers me, and I smile. Suddenly, the door flies open and Nick races in, dropping to his knees at my bedside. He's a mess, hair disheveled like he's been running his fingers through it, a few days scruff on his face, and rocking dirty flannel that honestly kinda smells.
Oh my God, baby, are you okay? I'm so sorry I wasn't here. Amelia, how is she?
He's rambling, stuttering as the words rush out. It reassures me, and I realize that part of what I smell is sweat and pine tar. I wonder if he's even taken a chance to change his boots since getting the news. A man who'll race across the country to get to me?
He's the man for me. I take his hands, looking him in the eye to get him to calm down and focus. I'm fine. Doc says Amelia is fine and that I just need rest. I can see the relief rush across his face, and then he presses his cheek to my belly, looking up at me.
I was so scared, Rose. I thought I was going to lose you both. Are you sure you're really okay?
I nod, tears in the corners of my eyes to see him so upset, but also my heart swelling, knowing that he's so concerned about us. Really? We're okay, and you're here now. Speaking of, how'd you get here so fast? He smiles, but it's wavering.
I was out with Sam. Miles out in the forest when his wife called on the radio. Sam's son arranged for me to grab a chopper to Portland, where I grabbed the first flight back here, landed and got here as fast as I could.
I smile, cupping his scratchy cheek. Not his normal look, but there's a part of me that likes it. Sounds like you've had a busy day. I've just been lying here taking naps. I'm trying to lighten the mood, but Nick isn't having it.
I'm truly so sorry I wasn't here, and I promise I won't ever leave you again.
Nick, I reassure him, stroking his messy hair and pulling out a pine needle of all things. You're not going to be by my side every second of every day. These things happen, but we're going to get through this together. Somewhere deep inside me, the dam that's been holding it all back bursts and I cry. Nick climbs up in the bed with me, probably against the hospital rules, but who gives a fuck? And we lie face to face, the roundness of my belly surrounded by our protectiveness and love. Nick wipes my tears, kissing my forehead and reassuring me. Eventually, the fear subsides and I feel the calm resolve that we're going to be okay. Our first unexpected hiccup as parents, and our people came to our aid, supporting us. And Nick and I are stronger than ever, knowing we're in this together.
Chapter 24. Nicholas. 3 weeks. 3 weeks of daily hospital visits that Trey coordinated to make sure Rose was never alone for more than an hour at a time. 3 weeks of entertaining Rose with cards, puzzles, books, and talking about everything under the sun, and then some. 3 weeks of Rose and I spending time side by side in her hospital bed, or me sitting in the chair next to it, each with a laptop as we work. I've spent time checking in with my team as they continue business as usual. Doing a business Skype meeting in a hospital room is only unusual the first time. After that, everyone's been cool. I finally had the talk with Wes, and we've worked out a way for me to manage our sales force from Great Falls on a permanent basis, so I can be here as much as possible. I'll still have to take some quick trips, but he understands and agreed that as long as Adrenaline's goals are met, he doesn't care if I'm working from headquarters or in my PJs at home. That was a huge weight off our shoulders, as I feel confident I can be successful here. And Rose knows I'm staying by her side. I got word out to Sam and Susan that we're okay. The next time he goes into town, he's supposed to give me a call. For her part, Rose has been doing the accounting duties and window shopping for future orders for the shop. She calls Devin every afternoon for an update, and Devin seems to be handling the whole thing like a pro. She's done so well that Rose has already given her a promotion to assistant manager, although technically she has no employees to manage, but she got a well-deserved raise with the title. Surprisingly, the whole thing has gone exceptionally well, considering how scared we all were at first. Rose hasn't had any more contractions or bleeding, and it's just become our new normal, a type of waiting game where we try to function while never leaving bed. That sounds like some kinky version of heaven, but it's definitely not. Rose's body aches half the time. My back feels like shit until I'm halfway through my workouts, and quite frankly, trying to get things done with the background noise of a hospital blows. Thankfully, our little crew is helping out too. Today, Anna is going to sit with Rose after she finishes her shift while I go handle some top-secret business outside the hospital. Anna comes in, looking tired but still with a smile on her face.
Hey, guys, guess what I just saw?
Treat a man who somehow accidentally ended up getting a full can of beer shoved up his ass? I joke, knowing that after being on her feet for 12 hours, she's got to be exhausted. Or was it a remote control?
Very funny.
Anna says, sticking out her tongue as she lays out food, Breakfast for Rose, dinner for herself.
Actually, it was a Bluetooth earbud up the nose. Guess there are drawbacks to those wireless